It's ridiculous how the kids get into that, isn't it? The adults going. That's cool. God's good like that. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 90. We're going to look at two verses in there. If I were to give this a title today, I'd simply title it, Time's Up. Time's Up. Tiki thought his time was up, didn't he? Sure did. Psalm 90. We'll look at two verses in Psalm 90. And we'll start in verse 10. Let me say this, by the way. It is good to have, always good to have friends from what we'll always consider one of our home churches, at Canvas Church, and it's good to see Carrie. And nice of you to bring Chris along with you and the boys, Carrie. And it might have been the other way around, but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're all here. It could be like the guy said when he preached at the Nut House. He got up, he tried to say, you know, it's really good seeing you here, and he said, that didn't sound right. He goes, well, he said, I'm glad you're here. He said, that doesn't sound right. Finally, one of the inmates stood up and said, hey, preacher, we're all here because we ain't all there. So, thank you for getting that. I appreciate it. In any case, Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. Yet their strength, labor, and there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Then look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Benjamin Franklin said, do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of. The writer Thoreau said, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity. We take time for granted, don't we? As a supervisor at work, I often find myself asking this question, why is there always time to do something over again, but there's never time enough to do it right the first time? And it seems true. We take time for granted, but the psalmist saw the value of being reminded about how short life really can be. Now, I was talking at work, as I mentioned here before, I had a minister friend, really a hero in the gospel to me, who suddenly dropped dead a couple weeks ago, and I went down to Alabama for the funeral, and it was an amazing funeral for an amazing guy that had an amazing life, lived for Jesus. Then had another one that I, in ministry, that I went to school with, named Rick Locklear, who had been fighting disease, and he died. And then just recently, one of my dear friends who taught me the DME business, home medical equipment, Gene Walter, I go fishing out of his lake all the time, good guy, love him, he loves me, he and Rosie are good people, and we went to church with them for several years, he died. Now don't look at me and call me the death angel, I am not killing them, I promise you. But I'll tell you what it did for me, it reminded me that this life is brief at best. Now, Miss Ella has probably been graced to have more years here than the rest of us right now. But I guarantee you, Miss Ella will tell you that life goes by fast, doesn't it, Miss Ella?
It sure does.
Goes by fast. By the way, this woman can still cook an apple pie. Hallelujah. I just went ahead and took another diabetes pill and ate a piece of her pie. Because I'm telling you, it was worth it. But time does go by. I want you to think on this. If you live to be 70, that means God gave you 840 months to live. That sounds like somebody financing a truck nowadays, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Whew. Anyway, I won't go there. But 840 months to live. Now I want you to think on this. 240 months you'll spend sleeping. 240 months you'll spend working. 164 months are spent in recreation, and usually an average of 80 months is watching TV. 72 months eating, 60 months bathing and dressing and dealing with your clothing, etc. This leaves 64 months for other things. So then take away 30 months in school, 12 months on the phone, and for some teenagers, that's probably stretching it. Now let's go about to 18 or 20 months. 5 months putting on and tying your shoes. I can't even reach mine anymore. Listen, time does fly. Somebody has written, the bad news is time flies. The good news is that you're the pilot. How are you spending your time? When you think it through, after all these months I've given you, it leaves just 17 months of our lives for other things. And I want to ask you this question. Where does God fit into your schedule? How many months do you think God should have?
All.
He should have all. The Bible puts it this way. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we know it's not realistic unless you were a monk and you were in a monastery to take your entire life and just 24/7 put on robes and live in a monastery. You got to work. You got to eat. And please, you got to get dressed. Yeah, change them socks. That's right. Got to. So those months are going to go by anyhow, and it's going to leave you some. There's the question, and here's what happens often. People get to the point where they start thinking that Sunday is my day off. Now, don't you think on that? Is it really? Who does Sunday belong to? Who does Monday belong to? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday belong to? God. Then why is it we begrudge Him, not, and we don't even give Him the entire day, why do we begrudge Him an hour or two on Sunday? We're living in an age now, my friend, listen, everything wins over church. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or make your feel good feel bad, but I'm going to say it because I love you. We're living in an age where more people are interested in being at the ballpark than they are in being in God's house. I remember when baseball was not played and or practiced on Wednesday nights or on Sunday. Those days are gone. And I want you to hear me, parents. When you take your child and you let them go to those places rather than a church activity, what are you teaching them? You are teaching them that the ball field is more important than God's house. Now be careful. Now if you get mad, stay long enough to get glad, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, I'm saying this for your best interest, because you've got to understand that our greatest obligation is to personally prepare for eternity. Our second greatest obligation is leading others to prepare for eternity. That includes your children. Our priorities are all wrong in our society, aren't they? We've got them all stood on their head, and we wonder why is our country a mess. I'll tell you why it's a mess. Because God's people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to be leading others in the direction they should go, and we're walking down the path with them. They should look unto us for the hope that lays in us, and what we're doing is we're following them. God help us. Realize that time is almost up. Father, we bow before you and thank you for the privilege of being in your house, being with your people, and I ask you, Lord, that you would use this to be a blessing and a challenge to your people. And I don't want to stand here a pointless, powerless preacher. I want to be used of you, and I'm asking you, God, that you would take your word and use it to be a blessing. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You see, our understanding of time as it relates to eternity is critical. You don't have to tell me where your priorities lay when it comes to your spiritual walk. I can see it. And believe it or not, people are watching our lives. I had a neighbor, I live in a cul-de-sac. That's a fancy name for a dead end, okay? And across from me is a veteran. I've talked to him before. We just kind of chit and chat as he's driving by, kind of talk. That's it. And I remember after we had left Canvas to come out here, started coming out here. And listen to what he said. I'd never had this discussion. I'd invited him to church. But I never had this particular discussion with him when we changed church. I invited him to Canvas. I've invited him here, by the way, since. But I hadn't had this conversation with him. I was talking to him in the yard. And he came up and he said, "Where are y'all going to church now?" And I said, "Well, we're going out to Gosburg." You know, I told him where it was. He goes, "Really? Well, we knew you'd been going somewhere different because your timing's different than it usually is on Sunday morning." And you say, "Well, that's none of their business." It might not, but somebody's watching your life. And somebody's watching my life. And let me tell you something. Our job is not to steer them away from God, but steer them toward God. That's why we exist. We're to be lights in a dark place. We're not supposed to be flipping the switch off. We're supposed to be salt, and salt preserves, and salt flavors, and salt makes a difference. We're not supposed to be unsalty Christians, just doing what we want to do like it's our time. My friend, it's not our time. Jesus put it this way. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Some of the things that people are giving out and giving up for God in order to seek after are the very things they're going to lose because they're not seeking after God. We'll find out that it doesn't matter. And for some people, that may be too late. I want to give you three very simple thoughts to take with you this week. First of all, our time is limited. Our time is limited. You know, you were given this morning a check for 86,400 seconds. How are you going to spend your check? Well, actually, that's talking about the time. Should you live another 24 hours, how are you going to spend that? I think it's wise if you and I start our day out by putting God first. Amen? And listen, for me, it goes much better if I start my day with Him. I would love to tell you, as your pastor, that I float on fields of clover, and every minute that I get up, all I'm doing is praising God and reading the Bible. But that's not true. Some mornings I stay in bed a little too long and I got to get up and hit the ground running. And I don't get to spend the time I should have spent if I'd have just got up early. I'd love to tell you that I'm perfect and I've arrived, but I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. I know the difference when I don't spend time with God. And I want you to know this. If I keep doing that, it won't be long before you know the difference. And don't tell me your family doesn't know. I'll say this to you men. I think we've been having a great men's class. How about you guys? Amen? I think we've been having a great men's class. And part of the reason is we want to instill in men the idea that God intended the men to be the spiritual leaders in their home. For too long, we have deflected or we have denied that obligation and that duty, or we've passed it off onto the ladies. I, more than one time in ministry in the last 40-some years, have invited men to church, and here's what their response is: "Let me see what the wife wants to do." Now, it's okay. I'm not saying run roughshod over mama. I'm not saying be a dictator or a Hitler. But bless God, somebody's got to make a decision, and it shouldn't be mama all the time, because I'm going to say this, and it may make you mad, but you just need to hear it. You need to grow a backbone and not be so worried about people being mad at you, and do the right thing, whether they get mad or not. Amen. I'll say it if you won't. We've got to take a stand for Jesus in this world. We've got to take leadership, men. And I will tell you this, and I'll say this as kindly as I can. You treat her like a queen, you start acting like a king, and maybe she'll start treating you like a king. And I mean spiritually as well. God bless you women who for years, many of you, have not had good male leadership in your home. And I'm not criticizing those men. That's between them and Jesus. I want to commend you for having a backbone and taking a stand. And God bless you for it. But ladies, you can't tell me that it's not better when your man steps up and begins to take the spiritual leadership in your home. It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. It doesn't mean there won't be conflict from time to time. But listen, time's running out. Our time is limited, and somebody needs to take a stand, bless God. In the disposition of our bodies, time is attacking us. James put it this way, "For what is your life? It's even a cloud that appears for a little time and vanisheth away." How many of you ever looked at stuff in the clouds and tried to figure out what they were? Now, Connie and I do this all the time. Now, here's, Connie will look at a cloud and she'll go, "Oh, look at that. It looks like a dragon, and there is teeth, and there's his eye. All I see is a blob." I'd be in trouble if I ever went to the shrink and they show you the ink blots. I'd say it looks like somebody spilled ink all over the paper, you know. Connie Sue's got this great imagination. She'll look at it and she'll go, "It's so and so and such and such." All she's a blob, and if you wait 5 minutes, the blob's gone. The Bible says your life is like that blob of clouds. It's here, it's real, but then it's gone. And don't tell me it's not, because time passes too quickly and our bodies limit us. Now, I've told you this several times, and I don't tell this to worry you or to upset your apple cart, but you know God has only put us together in this place for a little while. This morning, we're only in here for an hour. But you know what? We never know when our last hour is going to come. Where you're going to hear your last sermon, I'm going to preach my last sermon, and we're going to finish our last sermon. We don't know. Now is the appointed time, the Bible says. If you're going to make a decision for Christ, quit playing around, quit pussyfooting around, and take a stand as a man of God and a woman of God, and walk for God, and use your time for God starting right now. Right now. Time's up. Your body is limited. There are so many people that have knocked themselves out. I was telling them about up at Center Hill Lake. There are places you can go where there's acre after acre after acre of boats tied up under these floating docks and stuff. And some outside. Billions of dollars worth of boats just sitting there. And this guy fishes there all the time. And he says, "Chip, I come out here about every weekend." He said, "The only time you see any of these boats move," he said, "is 4th of July and Memorial Day, and occasionally on Labor Day." They've invested millions of dollars in all these boats, and they don't even get on them. They don't even start them up. I got a guy at work. He owns one on the far end of Center Hill Lake. It's like a 24-footer. I mean, it's like a huge, huge boat. He was telling me he pays $5,000 a year to park it there. I asked him, "How many times has he taken it out in the last year?" He said, "None." But he's working a job to pay that slip fee to park it there. You say, "That's crazy." You shake your head. But I'm here to tell you, right here in this church, you are using time that belongs to God, and you are wasting time that God wants to have, and then telling God you don't have enough time. How hard is it for you to get up an hour earlier and come to Sunday school? You say, "Well, it's hard." Well, then God will understand and bless it, won't he? How hard is it for you to come consistently on Sunday morning? We don't even do Sunday night. How hard is it for you to do that, to give it to God? You say, "I'm so tired." Bless God. Well, maybe God will see that you don't need that old job anymore, and you'll have plenty of time to rest. It's God that gives us the ability to make money, and then we whine about making money as to why we don't have time for God. Our lives are limited. Your children will grow up before your eyes before you know it. It's time to raise them for Jesus now, even when they're little. Don't wait. By the decree of our Creator, the Scripture says, "Appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Somebody has said this, and it's kind of got a twist in it, but I think it's true. Listen carefully. Time is a great teacher, but it kills all of its students. You adults know what I'm talking about. Even some of you younger adults know what I'm talking about. Don't you wish you knew then what you know now? Come on. But here's the thing. What have you learned from it? And what do you... Amen. Amen, little sister. What have you learned from it? Where are you progressing from it? See, God wants you this time next year, if you live, to be closer to Him and grow more in Him than you were this year. He wants you to move forward. He wants you to progress for Him. And the thing, again, I say to you, the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're in the pilot seat. How are you going to use your time? What are you going to do? You say, Chip, that's between me and God. That's right. And he sent me today to bring you a message. And he's got a message for you. Time's up. When are you going to start spending the time for him that you need to? Personally. In church. Whatever it might be. So our time is limited. Secondly, our time is labored. In verse 10, it says this, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, if by reason strength it be 80 years. Yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have had a really, really hard day in the last month? Raise your hand. How many of you had a really hard month? Oh, yeah, look at that. But you know what? That's what the Bible says. But here's the difference. How would you like to go through those tough times without God? I wouldn't. I would not. I can tell you this, that going through a tough day with God beats any of my best days before I knew God. Because I know who's holding me. The Bible says, I'm in the palm of his hand and no man can snatch me out. I know, regardless of what people may do around us and how circumstances come on us, they cannot hurt us, and we are more than conquerors in Christ if we stay on track and trust him. Amen. Yeah, our time is limited and our time is labored. But thirdly, our time is loaned. The psalmist said, my times are in thy hands. You see, time is an opportunity for salvation. In 2 Peter, we find these words, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's an opportunity now for salvation, but it's an opportunity right now for serious reflection. Where are you spiritually? Are any of you where you want to be spiritually? I'll just be honest with you, I'm not. I want to be closer to him. I want to grow more in him. I want to be more like Jesus and less like Chip. But I still want to be good looking like Chip. It's not that funny. That's all right. Y'all get to heaven and you think you're all going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's in his 20s. You go up there and find out y'all going to look like me. I know one of you, I can hear you thinking, that ain't heaven. You guys are evil. I love you anyway. Listen, our time is limited. And our time is just loaned to us. It's given to us for a little while. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? I'm going to ask you to do what I've asked of myself. Ask God this. What more do you want me to do with my time? What more do you want me to do with my time? And here's the problem. The average Christian is not faithful in their time with what they already know they're supposed to be doing. They're not praying like they should. They're not reading the Word or listening to the Word like they should. By the way, in our age, there is no excuse for God's people not getting the Word in. I can sit there and I can plug a cord into my car and my radio will preach the Word to me. I can write off my phone. Hook it to my phone, man. I can pull up preaching. I can listen to it. There's this place called Gosburg Church. It's got an amazing pastor. I listen to him. He's amazing. No. Other preachers, okay. I just seen a few away. And I listen to them on the way to work. But what I do is I try to get the Word in. Before I listen to anybody preach, I want to get it. Let me give you something that you can use. And I've shared it with you before. But I want to remind you. There are 31 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. You should read one that lines up with the calendar day of the month, whatever. So like today is what? Second? Today's the second. So you read Proverbs 2. Tomorrow's 3rd, 7th. Or if you pick up in the middle and you realize it's the 15th, go to Proverbs 15. If there's one that fits for every single day, whether there's 28 days in that month or 31, you can find one. Do that. It's simple. But you'll be surprised how God can use that. I was wrestling with an issue at work, and I'm seeking God's wisdom. And I did that. I went into the book of Proverbs, and I told the men, we're probably going to start studying the book of Proverbs in Sunday school, because it is just chock full of great stuff for us now. And God used it to direct me in how to handle the situation. And I'm telling you, it always turns out better if we'll just do it God's way. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever gone down the road and given somebody a piece of your mind? Not face to face, not on the phone, but just pretending. You ever done that? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Thank you. You guys are geniuses. I was going down the road, and I'm hitting it every way I can. Well, so-and-so, you should have done this, and blah, 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 and I'm going back and forth. And at the end of all of it, I'll say, okay, God, what can I say of any of that? It's crickets and tumbleweeds. You know what that means? Nothing. Don't say it. Because if you say it, you'll regret it. And the Bible says that words are like water poured out on the ground. You can't gather them back up. Best thing to do is make that speech in your car with yourself, to yourself, and keep it to yourself. And if you've done that, you found out it works best. And it might make you feel a little better. It might put you in a hospital, depends on how mad you get. But the truth of the matter is, our time is labored and it's loaned to us and it's limited. And it's an opportunity for serious reflection. The psalmist said, he said, teach us to number our days. Pardon me, in Proverbs, teach us to number our days. The Bible says a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And it's an opportunity for service. What really matters. Apply our hearts. In verse 12 it says, look, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because the days are limited. Don't waste them. Ask God what he wants you to do and let him lead you. Somebody has wisely written, life is a book of volumes three, the past, the present, and yet to be. The first is written and laid away. The second we are writing day by day. The next and last of the volumes three is locked from sight. God holds the key. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do his precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for then the clock may be still. We're to focus on time with eternity in mind. The Bible puts it this way, so we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, God will prompt us in how we should spend our time. And Jesus put it this way, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, my friend, he'll guide you into how to use your time. He'll let you know when you're wasting it. When you need to push away from that TV set, put the remote down, and go get your Bible out and read the Word of God. He'll motivate you if you'll listen. Because realize this. You and I, in all the days we were given, in all the days we were handed, it's all temporary. This is it. This is temporary. But we're prepping for eternity. How long is eternity? Forever. Then why in the world are we not investing more in what will last forever? The dash is one of my favorites. It said, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash? It is just a dash, isn't it? I've told you before, you should know this. Our lives should be everything we could do to cram into that dash what honors God. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brian to come, if he will, to play a verse of meditation song. comes and plays, I'm going to invite you to come and pray and simply pray. God, I'm giving you my time. How much ever time I have left, God, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. What I'd like you to do is right where you're standing, if you mean that and you'd say that, I want you to say it to yourself right now. God, I give you my time. God, I give you my time. Then I want you to say to yourself, God, I give you all my time. Some people are so afraid that God will take them up on it that they're scared to say it. But give God all your time and you'll not regret it. Then I wonder if you stood there and you said that and you meant it, if you'd like to come and just kneel and say, God, I give you all my time. God, lead me. God, guide me. As others come, if you need to come, come on right now. This is your time. Come right now. Say, God, I give you me. I give you my time right now. If that's you, would you come? Come right now. Say, God, I give you me. I give you my time. I give you me. God, come. Come right now. If that's you, come. Pray. Others come, there's still time for you, but remember this, there will be a last invitation, there will be a last sermon, there will be a last time, the doors are locked. My friend, are you ready? Time's up. Are you ready? Time's up. Are you ready? Labor, and time is loaned to us. husbands, that time with your spouse is alone. Insurance companies are betting she's going to outlive you. You might be right, but it could be the other way around. So you make sure to tell your bride today how much you love her and appreciate her. Don't wait. Time is now to do that. Time is now to tell your kids that you love them. Time is now to tell your children when you mess up, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Time is now to make sure the relationships that matter are in line with where God wants them to be to the best of your ability. Remember this, some relationships can't be fixed on your end, but you can do your part. Some relationships may never get repaired the way you'd like to see them, but you need to have a good relationship with God. Amen. And be the person God wants you to be in the time He's given you to live. It's been good to be in the Lord's house today. It's been good to be with you. We want you to remember, we want to feed you after church. And we've got some great spaghetti left. I even saw them, they were hiding some desserts. I wonder if they looked at me when they did.
Brother Chip, before we dismiss, a lady I worked with for many years, her son, 16 years old, he's missing, and they're out searching for him. So I cannot even imagine her heart this morning.
What's his name?
His name is Devin.
All right. Well, we dismiss then. Let's pray for Devin, and we'll ask also a blessing on the food. Please stay and help us eat that food. And we're begging you. As a matter of fact, we have food so fresh down there. There is a turkey sitting right outside the door. It still has feathers on it. Listen, when Connie, Sue, and I realized we're going to be pastoring in the country, we're in the country. And I mean, it's great. I love it. You just never know. You know? I don't know that you necessarily have to pay the preacher in chickens, though. We're grateful. Turkey, somebody said. Lovely children. Caleb here. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Let's pray for Devin and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for your goodness. We pray for Devin. We also pray for that young lady, Father, that teacher ran off with. God, that they would be caught and that, Lord, he would be dealt with for his crime. I'm asking you that you would help in both these situations. I pray that you bring great resolution to it as great as possible. I do pray that you watch over our folks throughout this week and help us to be who you want us to be. Bless the food we're about to eat, Father, and help us to have good fellowship together. Thank you for the hard work of our folks and your blessings on each one of us, and we love you. And all God's people said,
Amen.